This podcast is a member of WGPRN, WildGamesProductions.com.
Welcome back to another edition of the Progression of the Book of Sorrows. A couple of weeks ago. As of this recording, we left off, everyone finally got out of the forest into the grassy plain area, and we left it there, and I believe, Leith, you were controlling Erwin for the time being, who is now officially going to walk off into the sunset and retire.
See you later, Erwin.
As Mike is no longer part of the game, and we are out of trouble, and the other Mike wouldn't let us kill him, and then Crispy tried his best to kill him, but it didn't work, so. Right, Crispy?
Yeah. I wanted to, like, have a death speech and stuff, but no.
Crispy, you want to get closer to the mic so we can hear you?
I was going to have him do, like, a death speech. Like, maybe someday these people will see that a hero is just a man.
You can still kill him now if you want. First thing you guys notice when you step out of the forest, the wild jungle, that it's nighttime now. The moon is brightly lit into the sky behind another moon, which is a different color of red. So there is a white and a red moon. And the grassy plains land seems to be barren, with a various like dead tree clumps here and there. And there seems to be very like foggy mists all over the place. And that's where you guys stepped out into the dew. Yes, and you know, according to what you remember from the town guardsman, that the mountain that you had to go climb to get to where you were going to was another 2 days' walk, at least.
Well, how are we doing on hit points and everything?
You tell me.
I'm at... Crap, I don't have my sheet. I think I'm at, like, 10. Here it is.
I'm 12.
Down one. I'm down one, but that's no big deal.
I have 5 of 6.
I think Erwin and I had like the most. I think.
I've used all my spells though, so it may be a good idea to camp just so we can get up.
You guys are a bit exhausted. I mean, camping wouldn't be a bad idea, but this right here is kind of like, you know, you're right at the edge of the forest, and you're right in the middle of nowhere, and you can be seen from, like, miles on end, so it's up to you. I mean, you can camp right here if you want.
And it's misty and foggy? So
yeah, you can see, like, mist and fog coming off the ground as if maybe it, like, it rained and it got warm really quickly after it got cold.
Mm-hmm. So can we see any area that looks like we might find shelter?
You could probably go to one of the little foresty, I should say dead tree clump areas, and you could find shelter in there. I mean, it's no bigger than maybe, I don't know, a couple trees wide. It looks like there could have been a forest here, but it died over time.
Hmm. Can we see anything else around, by scanning the horizon?
You could see the mountains very far away.
Mountain.
Which you know you have to go to.
Does anybody know if there are any villages between here and there?
Mm. I don't know. Am I familiar with that mountain at all?
No.
Okay.
According to what you were told, there is really nothing on this land. There might be some wild villages, like wild village people living here somewhere.
YMCA.
Yes. Wild village.
Wild village people.
Yes, I know.
Well, you know, one advantage of being being out in the open is if we'll have plenty of warning if someone's coming up on us. So,
speaking of warning,
No one ever expects the village people.
Yes, you hear dun, 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 and you see the Blue Oyster Bar door open up, and no, I'm kidding. Wow, no one got my Police Academy reference.
Sorry.
Disconnecting Vince.
Hey, you can. I control the conversation. No.
It's, you see, be mean for a second, but
yeah, Crispy, shut up. You hear the, you guys are standing out there contemplating what to do, and you start hearing some like ruffling coming from the foresty area from one of the trees and branches. Looks like it's someone's coming out. You can see a short figure coming out of the foresty area and brushing himself off. And Leaf, I'll let you step in here with what you look like.
Well, he's a rather rotund dwarf. With a bright red beard, which currently has some spider legs sticking out of it for some odd reason that it's probably best not to ask about. And he appears to be completely oblivious to everyone's presence. Yes. He starts picking the spider legs out of his beard.
Trask?
Mm-hmm.
You, as you're looking him over and up and down, you kind of recognize him for some reason.
Kind of, he looks at him. Oh no! Oh, why me?
What's that I hear? He starts looking around.
What are you
doing?
Oh goodness! Yeah.
And he runs over. Well, waddles, I guess. The dwarves really run, and grabs Trask into a bear hug and says, "You tiny man! You're even smaller than the last time I saw you."
And what's his name, Leaf?
Ragnar.
Ragnar?
Yes.
Oh, you blasted son of a skunk, I'll teach you a lesson. And he wiggles a hand free and starts punching him in the head. Call me short.
Oh.
You damn fire beard.
Can you even reach my head?
I want to hear some reactions from everybody else here on this.
Well, Corbin immediately falls down in prayer. He's going to need all the help from St. Cuthbert he can to survive two of these dwarves.
Ragnar is going to try to grapple with Trask to get him in a headlock so he can rub his knuckles on his head.
All right, you easily do that, I mean. And what, Galvin's just like laughing on the ground?
My jaw is dropped, and I'm just amazed that dwarven society, which I guess I haven't had much experience with.
Mm. And Nigel, what is he up to?
I'm just taking it all in. I kind of waiting to see. I guess this guy's family, so I guess he's all right.
Okay, go ahead. Continue with your love scene.
So Trask is going to probably pretty easily get him off.
Oh, yeah. His strength is only 14, so yeah. Beat the heck out of him if you'd like. It would be quite
so
fun.
He's going to like push him off. And what are you doing outside of the clan? Did you follow me? I told you not to follow me.
No, I didn't follow you.
Really?
No, not a bit. No.
Mm, yeah. Does Mom know you're here?
No.
Kind of looks. Aren't you supposed to be tending to the mission?
Well, I'm on vacation.
Oh, I know they gave
like the all pirate radio.
They don't, which is why no one knows. Now, I was deep in prayer, speaking with Clangadin, and he told me, or perhaps I was just drunk, I'm not sure. But he told me to seek you out, for you would need my help.
I don't need no one's help. That's why you left in the
first place. Not according to Clangadin. He says you're too short to do it on your own.
Well, you and Clangadin... Trask pulls his axe out. You and Clangadin can be joining me in that aspect.
Ooh.
Crispy,
Trask, you notice when you pull your axe out, it's glowing light. It's gold. Glowing bright gold.
I'm just playing with you. Have a drink, brother. And he pulls out his skin of mead and shares it with Trask, assuming that he doesn't get his head chopped off or something.
He doesn't. Trask goes, aye, that I can do.
Ah, do you have anything to eat here? I've been eating spider all week.
I start gagging.
It's not too bad with a little bit of salt, but I'm out of salt too.
Wait a minute. So you're meaning to tell me that you've been in that forest for a whole week waiting for us?
No! I've been walking in circles, man.
Oh, boy.
I kept coming across this camp of spiders day after day, and, well, at first there were five, and I ate one of them. And I kept... And I came across them again the next day, and, well... And then there were four.
Kraz kind of puts his hand on his forehead and shakes it. Clangadin works in mysterious ways.
Aye, brother, that he does. That he does.
I could keep going for this for an hour. I mean, come on.
Yeah, let's continue the game.
It's the Girl Render Show.
It's Trask and his brother together. We're brothers.
I was thinking that, like, that was in my mind the whole time.
The Wayne and Brothers Show, yes.
Yes.
So, Vince, if we're going to turn this into, like, a dwarven sitcom, you're going to have to get a laugh track or something.
No, I'm no laugh tracks.
All right,
so you guys are your reunion. You guys are happy, and everyone else is confused because there's another Trask-ish person in the party. And Ragnar was his name, or
Ragnar. Yes.
Reg. So you call him Reg, pretty much. Reg.
Sure.
Okay.
Well, he probably calls him things that aren't suitable for this podcast most of the time.
That's been thrown out the door, first of all. So.
I do notice the gold colored axe, and I ask him, I say, Trask, why is it changed?
Bless if I know, the damn fickle hell axe, it works when it wants to.
I ask everyone else, I said, I of course did not accept that devilish temptation, but the rest of you did. Are the rest of them changed?
There was no one else there, except for Galvin, who lost his staff.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. He lost it?
Yeah.
Is that all who's left of...
That's all who's left of the original. Mike is in here, so...
Party attrition for the win.
Well, can we assume that Delphin would pull out his...
Yeah, Delphin would pull out his dagger, and his would be glowing as well, if he were here.
Does it feel at all special to you, Trask? Does it feel more powerful?
Well, let me test. Hey, Ragnar, hold still real quick.
What? What?
I got a bit of an experiment.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no, not again.
Oh, and he starts chasing him.
May I suggest something?
Too late, he's chasing him.
Oh, man.
So they're running around in the group in a big circle.
I have not known many dwarves. Is this typical behavior?
I don't know about typical. I don't know about typical for dwarves, but definitely typical for Trask.
Yeah, so...
You hear insults. Your horse is behind, I'll teach you! Make the rest of you as red as your beard! Arr!
Catch me on those stubby legs first, tiny man!
Vince, is there any way you can put in Yakety Sax here, so maybe?
I was going to send you the MP3 a few weeks ago, but I never think I did.
No, you didn't.
Did I? Okay. Yeah, if you...
Now, I don't think this deserves a Yakety Sax. This isn't up to par with tossing Trask in the air to pull his own axe off the ceiling type deal.
That was pretty...
Why not just pull it down with a rope? No, it's much easier and funner to do it this way.
If you had shape-changing bracelets and rings, you'd do the same thing.
Which you do.
I think. I haven't used those in a while.
All right, so what are you guys doing now that you've tired out from running in circles?
Drinking.
So you just fall over and start drinking together?
Well, perhaps we should camp for the night, fellows?
Aye, sure. As long as there's something other than spider to eat.
Well, I have some trail bread.
Excellent, excellent. I'll take it all.
Trask, will you test your axe out on a sapling that, you know, roughly staff shaped, so I can get a replacement? Maybe at the base, see if you can knock down a sapling with one blow, and I'd like to see what that golden axe can do.
Again, he rolls over and pushes himself. All right, lad. Get you another weapon. So I'm guessing there's probably a reasonably staff-sized sapling around.
You look for a few minutes. You go into the forest or the dead tree area?
Probably the... I don't know. What do you guys think? I don't want to go to the forest because, like, pumpkin guys will jump out and blow up on me.
I would be more worried about the dead tree area because we have not been there.
Yeah. I guess I'll go to the edge of the forest.
All right, after a few minutes of looking around, you do see something that you could break down with your axe to give him somewhat of a walking staff or a fighting staff.
Okay. So I'll go ahead and hit it.
All right, just give me a d20 roll.
I got a 15 without modifications.
Okay. You easily slice through it, and then you spin around and do your double attack again.
Okay. So I'm guessing it works then.
You're guessing right.
Unless it's some kind of psychosomatic magic weapon effect.
Nope, you're fine.
Alright. So, then I'll take the staff back to Galvin.
Okay.
Thank you!
It's not really a staff, it's more like a giant sapling with like leaves coming out and stuff like that.
Well, like I'll take out my... once we rest for the night, I plan to take my trusty carving knife and shaping it into something a little nicer.
Okay. So who's going to... I assume you guys are building a little fire or something? Or
yeah. Should we build a fire? So that if we're on, like, clear, visible land with no obstruction, building a fire will probably draw...
They did it in the Old West.
Yeah, but in the Old West, they didn't have to fight exploding, like, pumpkin-headed satyr guys.
Maybe if we dig a pit, you know, a small pit and have a fire in there, it'll be less visible.
Yeah, that'll work.
Take some bark and lay over the top of it in kind of a teepee to kind of block the light. You might be able to get, like, a warm fire that doesn't have, like, a whole lot of light given off of it or something. Maybe. I don't know.
Okay. And who wants to do that?
Yeah, I'm not digging a hole.
I'll dig a hole. I don't have a problem with that.
Okay.
Manual labor is good for the soul.
Who's going to dig the latrine now? No, I'm kidding.
I draw the line there.
Okay, so you spend the next hour setting up camp and around circles so you guys can see at all angles. And are you going to sleep for a full 8 hours and then people are going to take watches, or are you just going to risk it and go to sleep?
No, I think 2 hour watches is probably a good idea.
I agree.
Yep.
Alrighty then.
I'll be glad to take first watch.
Okay, so Corbin's on first watch.
I'll take second then.
Okay. Galvin's
Wait, on. Who's on second?
You know, Crispy.
Sorry. I guess the dwarves can take third.
They're a team now?
Hell yeah. I'll hunt and hit it. You just keep healing me.
So we got Corbin, we got Galvin, and then we got the Dwarven Brothers. That's 2, 4, 6. We need one last watch.
I guess I will do the last one.
And then Nigel. Okay. Okay, so you're all getting ready to go to sleep and tucker down for the evening and... I'm losing my pad here. Jesus. Okay. Corbin, you're pacing back and forth. You sit down for a little while, and you're getting a little tired. And finally, your watch has come to completion, and nothing seems to happen. You don't see anything. The fog just seems to roll a little bit thicker around you guys, but it's just, you know, normal fogginess that you can see.
Mm-hmm.
So now you go wake up Mr. Galvin.
Oh, anything, see anything?
This fog covers much evil, perhaps, but no, I cannot see anything.
Okay. Well, have a good night.
Thank you, friend mage.
Okay, so, Galvin, while you're pacing around doing your stuff, what is your wisdom?
Seven.
Seven?
Oh. Seven?
Goody! Guess what?
Eesh.
What?
Roll 3d6 and get under your seven.
Wow.
I rolled a 10.
Okay.
So, no.
Okay, so you rolled a 10. Fine. That works out good.
For the DM.
For the DM.
I'm carving out my new staff, trying to make it nice and get off the extra branches. And.
Blah, 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 blah. Okay, so you guys, anybody that is down on hit points will get some hit points back to full.
Yeah. So
guys,
full?
Yeah, I'm giving you guys to full so you can start anew and fresh. Mm-hmm. And everybody... No, I shouldn't say everybody. Everybody gets back full hit points. And Nigel, you finally wake up.
Okay.
And you realize that you were never woken up for your watch. And it's still dark out, too, when you wake up.
Okay.
And the moons have changed places now. It's now the red one is in front and the white one's in back.
Okay. I survey the campsite and... look for who was supposed to be on watch before me and see if I can find them.
You see Galvin resting against a tree with a knife, or we say his dagger, in his hand slipping out while he was whittling his staff.
I walk over to him and nudge him awake.
Which means that if he was doing watch, that means the Dwarven Brothers never went on their watch.
Lovely.
Are we still there?
Yes, you're all there, and you're all right. Sleeping.
Did I wake?
Oh, yeah, you woke when he nudged you.
Oh, hey, Nigel, hey. What's going on?
Did you mayhap forget something?
I don't remember.
To your bed, I will take over.
Oh, thank you.
Trask, you and Reg both wake up as well, and Corbin, you wake up now, too.
Is it breakfast time?
Guys, Trask, you feel a little bit odd.
And odd how?
Odd as in, like, your feet are really cold.
Odder than usual.
Yeah, odder than usual.
All right. There's so much odd going on for him that
Yeah, I know. And
it's hard to keep track of.
You realize that your gold bag and your boots are gone.
What? Who?
It wasn't me. It wasn't me. Not this time.
And
then the secret is revealed that Trask this whole time was actually a hobbit.
Yes.
Dun dun dun. And sorry. Halfling.
Yes, halfling. Yeah. Shh. He's a kinder. What are they? A kinder, that's what I want.
You can't kill a hobbit, guys. Wizards of the Coast will get mad at you.
Shh. And Regnor, or Reg, whatever his name is, Reg. I'm going to call him Reg because I keep forgetting his name. You notice that your belt and your helmet is gone.
Ah! Bastards. Are there any tracks?
What?
Are there any tracks? He's looking around for tracks.
No, you don't see any tracks.
Someone will pay for this.
What's wrong, guys? What? Do I notice anything missing?
Corbin, you notice that your symbol of St. Cuthbert is missing from your robes.
Oh, that's not good.
I check my things as well.
Your holy symbol is gone, as well as with any money you had on you.
When I notice this, I look immediately for the book.
And you see it's still inside your inner pocket.
I have a sneaking suspicion I'm going to check around Galvin. Do I see any, like, do I see anything unusual?
As in what? What are you looking for exactly?
I don't know, like, maybe like a dart or a crossbow bolt.
No, you don't see any of that.
Okay. Any,
it must have been pixies if there are no tracks.
they flew off of me damn boots.
Crushed them.
Why would they want to?
Well, you see, I have no idea. Who steals a man's boots? It's just wrong.
A bootless man.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, do we see, can we look around the campsite, see if we see any footprints or anything?
Yeah, it was already done, and no, you didn't see any, like, tracks or footprints or anything. But you do see that around you, it looks like a dragging across the dirt and everything. Like someone was covering tracks.
Did I escape without getting anything stolen?
Yeah, actually you did.
Yes!
Rub it in, Jack.
Wand! Rub it in. I got my hat! I'm good!
Well, perhaps we should follow this trail and see if we can find out who took our items.
It goes right into the forest.
Whoa, the forest we just came out of?
Yes.
I'm not going in there again.
All right, so...
I need my holy symbol.
I'll make you a new holy symbol.
Takes two sticks and throws it together. Here you go.
There. That's a cudgel, right? I mean, when you look at it like that... just anyone have any twine? Just go ahead and... There we go. Perfect facsimile. Just take that and... you priest, who you worshiping? Sorry, paladin. Who are you worshiping? Like,
I worship Heronius.
All right, that's like what newling god is Heronius? I ain't heard of that one.
Well, I mean, it's an insult, but it's one I can live with. But
well, you humans have so many gods that you can't keep them all together. Like,
well, oh no, I don't mean you. I mean the theft of my holy symbol. But we will be hard pressed to find lodgings without any money. So perhaps we should try to follow this trail.
Hey guys, I've been kind of looking through my stuff to make sure I didn't lose anything, and I found some nasty smelling boots. And I take these boots out of my bag and hold my nose and. Toss them towards Trask.
Oh, I was wondering where I put these.
They are your boots.
And I see the St. Cuthbert symbol, and I pick that up. Is this this is yours, right?
What foolishness is this?
Why do you have her stuff?
I don't know. I fell asleep.
That was my mother's helm.
Hi, dear old mom.
It just so happens everyone else's stuff was stolen and not yours.
Well, but it's not stolen. It's right here, guys. And I start handing it out like presents. And
What about the gold bag?
Gold?
Yeah.
Gold?
You took my money.
What gold?
Do I have the gold in my bag, too?
Uh-huh.
Oh, here you go, Trask.
Grabs it from him all indignantly. Mage. If this be one of your tricks, it ain't funny, Mage.
Well, don't tempt me.
Where'd I put them spiders?
Oh!
I ate them all, brother.
Well, this still begs the question of the tracks, the trail that leads into the woods.
Yeah, I swear it wasn't me, guys. We were bamboozled.
The smell of his boots would have woken you if you'd taken them off in your sleep.
Yeah.
Well, we could leave and move on, or we could try to find out who's making this mischief.
I've had enough of those woods, says Ragnar. I'll go back if everyone else is gone, but I'd rather not.
Maybe we need to move camp.
It's a creepy place, all full of trees.
Let's see. We could go to the mountains, or our quest lies, or go play back in the woods with, everyone who wants to kill us.
Yeah, I'm not going anywhere near those spiders. Let's move on.
Next time it may be the book that is stolen. We must destroy this.
Well, then I say we just burn the woods down.
You know.
Problem solved.
If you hid that book inside of Trask boots, no one.
You can't get that book inside his boots.
And the logic's faulty because his boots were stolen.
That's true.
But the smell might be enough to destroy the book itself.
Oh.
You know, everyone's a comedian. Let's take off your boots. See how they smell.
You are welcome to try, sir.
Okay, so what is everybody going to do now?
Well, perhaps it is best we away, friends.
Did I get enough sleep to memorize a spell?
Yes.
All right.
You could take the next hour while everybody's gathering everything up to go over your spells. And actually, I guess the clerics can pray for their spells as well.
I'm going to go ahead and memorize hit stuff with sword.
Your god declines that.
100 times.
Okay, I got sleep and unseen servant.
You all notice that it's still dark.
Should we just go back to bed?
Except, like I said to Corbin, which I pointed out before, that the red moon is now in front of the white moon as opposed to the white moon in front of the red moon.
Wait a minute. Do I notice that too?
You all notice this, yes.
Wait. That's way too creepy, guys.
What's the significance of that?
Yeah.
I'm assuming I know something about the world.
You have no clue. You've never been to this land, so.
Am I on a different planet, though? I mean, I would be somewhat familiar with the moon, I would assume. I mean, I'm open to it.
It's the orbital wobble
playing game, but.
All of a sudden, we're playing Traveler.
Do the moons have
died in character creation
effect on magic like they do in the Dragonlance? Do I know anything about the prominence of the moons in relationship to magic?
No, you've never seen these two moons before in your whole life.
Oh, they're new moons.
Not like the movie, but yes.
I was going to say, are they eclipsing each other at twilight? Before the breaking dawn? The short second life of Bree Tanner?
Crispy, I can't disconnect you again.
I know, sorry.
So you guys all of you have never seen these moons before. This whole land is really new since you stepped out of the forest, so.
Wait, but like. So these are entirely new moons, like...
Yeah.
So we... what?
Yeah.
Are we used to just, like, one,
moon? You're used to one sun, one moon.
And is, like, one of these moons our normal moon?
No.
So we are, in fact, on a different planet.
If you want to use that assumption, okay.
I think we should wait until morning when we can see where we are and try to get our bearings then.
Yeah, but then we might not be able to travel with the heat of the four suns. We don't know what's going to happen during the day.
Or there may be no suns at all! And I start panicking.
It'll be forever
night. Oh no, not that show. Well, I'm going to eat breakfast in any case, says Ragnar. Sits down and eats somebody else's food.
Do we have any sense how much time has passed?
You assume that since you've all slept and feel well rested, that at least 8 to 12 hours has passed since you all were awake. Well, you know for certain that, Corbin, you know for certain that two have passed because you did 2 hours yourself.
Right.
And from there, you feel well, well rested, which you're not used to. None of you are used to having being well rested, so. Which means that you guys were out for a while.
Well, I don't think we can explain the moons just standing around. We're gonna have to continue.
Now, but when we came out of the forest, it was day, right?
No, it was night. No.
It was always night?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
And the white moon was in front of the red moon, I said.
Did we sleep a whole day? Like, what about the phases of the moon? Have they changed at all?
Yeah, they're no longer smiling. They're frowning at you, Crispy. No, I'm kidding. No, this is
oh my god, it's been a whole month.
No, the moons are full round moons, and they've been that way since you came out of the forest.
That sounded oddly erotic.
Yes, it did, didn't it?
Well, wait, when we first came out of the forest, we didn't notice the moons, like, anything different in the sky. Well, of course, it was foggy, so maybe...
When you came out of the forest, you really didn't notice the difference. You just figured it was nighttime. Mm-hmm. And, when you're under assumption and you're confused and coming out of it, you're not going to really notice something. Yeah, until something smacks you in the head and goes, what the hell? And now it's what the hell, because you realize it's not daytime.
Are they after staring at it for a little while, are they noticeably moving in the sky? Is one moving faster than the other? I know we've only been looking at it for a few minutes, but
you plan to spend the next hour staring at it?
No, I guess I'll just keep an eye on it while we're moving around.
Okay. Does the surrounding area that we can see in the darkness look similar, or has everything changed?
Everything is the same. Same barren land, same dead trees, same misty fog rolling around on the ground.
Well, if nothing else, I guess we wait until some light comes up and then head out in the direction of the mountains.
Nigel, you came into this forest a different place at a different time than we did.
But there was still only one moon.
So this land is different for you as well, then?
This sky is most certainly different.
Yes.
Do we see any stars?
Yeah, I was just about to ask if we can spot any familiar constellations.
Not at all. You don't even see any stars whatsoever.
And
Not natural.
How bright is the moonlight? I mean, can we see fairly well?
Yeah, you can see pretty well.
Can we still see the mountain range in the distance?
No, you can't.
Is the dead wood forest sort of on the way?
Yes. It really wasn't a big forest. The area was maybe like a clump of dead trees, really close.
Like a dead grove.
Yeah, like close together. I mean, you could see the other side of it.
Now, did you? We can't see the mountain range because it's too far away, or we can't see it because it's not there.
Where you saw it before, where you were standing, you no longer see it now.
I tell everyone when I notice that we have not only had our items toyed with, we have been moved, I think.
they picked up the fire and everything, too.
Yeah, how bright?
It's either move us or move the mountains.
Maybe this is all an illusion, guys.
Disbelieve.
Now let's just walk towards where the mountains were, and maybe we'll get out of this air, this bubble of funniness.
It's a heck of an illusion if it's an illusion.
All right, I
think we need some answers, says Reagan.
Or maybe we follow the track.
As much as I hate to say it, back into the forest. Fine, later.
I thought if I could, those of us that are religiously inclined, can we feel the presence of our deities, or do we seem to be cut off?
You do feel the presence of your deities, yes.
I would like to ask Corbin if the book, if the book looks the same, is it the Book of Sorrows? Is it changed?
Corbin looks down. It looks exactly the same.
I wonder if there's any answers in the book.
And then he wants to get his hands on this.
We shall never know.
It's precious. Okay. It's precious.
All right, well, let's make a decision. If you guys want to go in the forest, let's do it.
I don't want to go in the forest.
Okay, like, let's not do it.
I really don't want to go in that forest.
That was a quick change.
I have no opinion.
I'm for the plan of walking towards where we know the or where we think.
That's what I would prefer.
Yeah, I don't really want to get attacked by spiders and satyr pumpkins. Yeah.
Or foolish creatures that swap our items around.
So you're going to start walking?
Sure. I don't know. What's everyone else think?
Yeah. I've packed up. I'm ready to go. Got my staff out. Come on, guys.
Well, your two leader-like characters are Corbin and Nigel, so one of the two of you answer for the group here.
You know, if all else looks the same, perhaps our destination is unchanged.
I fear that we are being toyed with, but am willing to bow to the will of the group.
We've been toyed with this entire adventure.
It's old hat, really.
It's new for Nigel, and you know, it's all new for him. We're moving on then.
Yes.
So we're heading towards the Dead Tree Grove.
Yes.
Okay. Takes you a little while. It seems like the Tree Grove was further away than you thought. But you finally do reach it, and it's probably what you guys would think would be midday. Estimating by how long you were walking.
But it's still dark.
But it's still dark. And I forgot, and Galvin, you were watching the moons. You do notice that it looks like they're now side by side, as opposed to one in front of the other.
Hmm.
Oh, okay. So there's a white moon and a red moon, which is the red... the red moon was in front, right?
Right.
And now, is it to the left or the right?
Yeah, it's going to the left. Hmm. And it looks like the white moon is coming more in front of and getting smaller, as the red one might be going behind it now.
Hmm. So they are, like, one passes in front of the other. They're not, like...
Yeah, the one passes in front.
Okay. So they are operating like moons.
Yeah. Just one becomes bigger than the other when it goes behind the other one, so.
Hmm.
Which is kind of weird in a sense, too.
Yeah.
Maybe they're revolving around each other.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Right.
Carl Sagan would have a field day with this.
Who?
Carl Sagan would have a field day with this.
You get closer to the, Dead Grove trees, and you stop in there for a moment as you're looking up at the moon, as Galvin points out a couple things. You hear a noise, a scratching noise from one of the dead trees next to Nigel's next to you in one of the dead trees.
I whirl around and draw my sword.
You see one of the dead trees, there's a hole in it. It looks like maybe like in the trunk.
Mm-hmm.
It's about as big as, let's say about a foot, a little over a foot big in round diameter.
Okay. Do I see anything inside that?
You do see what looks like to be a shape of something in there, moving.
Hello, you in the tree.
Okay, that's what you guys hear him talking to the tree.
You there, squirrel.
Wait, yeah, how big is this hole?
there's something moving in this tree.
Do any of us have a torch?
I have two torches that I've carried around this whole adventure that I've never used.
I gave one of my torches to someone, but I think it was...
Oh, I might have that too.
I gave it to Myron. No, not Myron. I gave it to Lyrian, so that's gone. My torch.
What do you want to do with the torch?
Do we have a torch lit? Like, are we carrying one, or are we just going to light of the moon?
You're just kind of walking by the light of the moon.
We should probably light a torch, then.
Yes.
I'll light my torch and hold it in my offhand.
Okay, you light your torch and you aim it towards where he was looking, and you see what looks like to be a small... I shouldn't say small... dog-sized creature in there, like a fox. And he kind of just goes, because of the light flashing on him.
Ooh.
Is he just being defensive, or is he attacking us?
Being defensive.
Okay. This morning I prayed... Well, we can only assume was morning. I prayed to St. Cuthbert for the ability to talk to animals. Perhaps this beast will have some answers for us.
Okay.
Trask can't see what's going on, so he's trying to he's pulling on someone's coattails to tell him what's going on.
That's right. The hole is too high up in the ground.
The hole is too high.
Put on your damn bracelets.
Oh, jeez, God. That's right. You can do that.
He goes, "Oh yeah, I forgot I had those." So he'll take out his bracelets and put them on, so now he's...
You now have a 9-foot-tall Trask in the party.
Is it 9? I thought it was brother. 6.
No, it's 9 foot.
He kind of looks down at Ragnar. Yeah. What now?
He talks more.
I'll just be over here, says Ragnar. He goes over to the tree with the critter and kicks it and says, "Quiet in there, you."
All right, the creature kind of just scurries out of the tree and hisses at you guys.
What is it like? What do we see?
It looks like a fox. Oh, a fox with a white streak.
Is it like a cross fox?
Skunk fox.
It's not a skunk fox. It just has a white streak. Okay. I was trying to be special. And he kind of just stands there staring at you guys with this stink eye look.
Well, I say the holy words, and I speak to him in animal speak, and I'm like, "Friend Fox, we mean you no harm."
Why did your friend just kick my home?
I apologize for my friend. He's been kicking things randomly probably since the day he was born. If we all had the wisdom of the fox, this would be a much better world.
He spilled my beverage.
What?
We will be more than happy to replace your beverage. We are in need of your aid.
You've dishonored my family.
Damn, dude, this fox is intense.
You guys notice that, 4 other foxes are on the trees behind you now? And they're slightly bigger than him?
Oh.
And they're glaring down with you with stink eyes.
Trask is going to lean over to someone and be like, "These foxes are making me nervous."
And I turn around and sternly ask Ragnar to apologize. I said, apologize.
I'm sorry for kicking your hollow tree, Mr. Fox. Yes. Would you like some mead? And he offers his mead skin.
Fox just kind of looks at you all confused.
It's good! And he takes a swig of it.
And then I ask them to back off so I can try and have this conversation.
Ah, right. I'll be over there. Behind that tree.
You see that when you go behind the tree, there is a fox waiting there for you.
Yeah! I'll be behind this tree then. Yes.
And there's another fox behind that tree.
Oh! They're everywhere. They've got us surrounded. Be on your guard, brother.
The sooner you help us, the sooner we will be on our way and leave you to your rest.
You're a wizard. Okay.
That's my line.
I know. I was just thinking that because you're so tall now. So
you're a wizard, Galvin.
What? What? What's going on?
The fox stares you straight in the eye. He's like, he's defiled my home.
God, this fox is busy.
Yeah. Only Corbin knows what he's saying, though. All you hear is ar, from Corbin too.
I what can we do to rectify this? Because we need your help, and the sooner you help us, the sooner we can leave your home to its restful peace.
You can die.
Does the fox actually say that?
Yes, he does to Corbin.
Dang.
And I assume now that Corbin is going to defend himself, so he's got to roll initiative for the group.
Oh, maybe I shouldn't have kicked that tree. Then again, they seem pretty antisocial anyway. I bet they would have attacked anyway, right? Yeah.
Damn, dude. Foxes are dicks.
I got a 3.
All right. Now it does say, I don't know how you're ruling this, but that the cleric is able to ask questions, receive answers, and generally be on amicable terms with the animal.
Yeah.
Unless you spilled his beer.
Spilled his beer over his paper.
I think that's in the updated text.
I rolled a 6.
Okay, hold on. I'm just drawing out my map here for myself.
If spellcaster offends animal party, e.g. by spilling beer... Conditions all start out as unfriendly.
And I have Regnor behind one of the trees. There's a tree here. So pretty much, if you guys want to get the image in your head, you guys are standing in the middle of 4 trees, one being on north, south, everyone, one north, one south, one west, one east. You guys are in the middle. Corbin is in front of Nigel and Galvin, and Trask is a big X behind the two people, and Ragnar is behind a tree to the east, hiding, where there's a fox. There's a fox on every tree, except for the one to the south, and there's one fox standing in front of Corbin. Okay, what are you guys going to do? Give me your moves.
Well, we don't know that it's attacking yet, right?
Well, Corbin does,
but did he communicate this to us?
I would assume he would do that.
Okay.
It's my bad for missing that. Corbin, I would assume you would do that, right?
Well, how do I know he's attacking me? Is he, like, lunging at me?
Yes, if he says you could die, he pretty much is going to lunge at you. You can tell. All
right. I shout out, defend yourselves!
All right, so what will you guys do?
I'm going to defend myself against this skunk.
Okay.
As will I.
So everyone, defend, okay.
I'm going to take off my bracelets so I can actually attack stuff with an adequate-sized axe. And try and arm myself if I can. But he's also going to shout, "Time to get me a new hat!"
Okay. And Corbin's armor class.
Where do I have that written down? I think it's armor class of 3.
Okay, the fox misses. One of the foxes comes leaping off the tree into Galvin, who his armor class is 7? 6?
No, it's 9.
Oh, 9. Oh, he should not miss on this. Fuck. 4. Wow, yeah, I guess he did miss.
Woo!
He flies onto the ground next to him. And the big Trask gets attacked since he's still big Trask. And his armor class is...
let's see.
Minus the shield since it's too small now.
Yeah, it's going to be 4.
Wow, I rolled a 2, a 4, and a 3.
Awesome.
No, guys, not awesome. Probability well. He's getting all the bad rolls out now.
And the other fox is jumping off the tree into Nigel, whose armor class is...
3.
A 10. He misses on that. So he's got a fox next to him. And there are 2 foxes, actually. No, there's only 1, sorry. Get rid of that fox. Next to Ragnar, or whatever his name is. And his armor class is...
3.
18. I hit you.
Oh, dirty fox.
And what exactly are you wearing?
Chainmail.
Okay. You take 3 points of damage as the fox's paws scrape against your armor, and you feel an electric zap go through your body.
Gah!
Aw, man.
There.
All those jokes about foxes. Pokemon. And then he does this.
Custom brewed creature before that episode. Shut up. It is
I
now.
I can't get the image out of my mind now. We're we got little yellow. They're not. Oh my gosh!
No Pikachu. Shut up.
I can't help it. They're there now.
If you want, I'll send you an MP3 of the Pokemon battle music to place over this.
It is.
I have
now...
a really good one. It's orchestrated.
That's great. It's your turn.
All right.
I don't care. Go.
I get, well, like I said, I was going to take off my bracelets and try and arm myself. Do I have enough time to do that?
Yes, you can do that, but you won't be able to attack.
Yeah, okay. That's cool.
We'll head down the line now. Ragnar.
He's going to try to smack that fox with his hammer.
He's going to smack that fucker with the axe. Go.
He rolls a 7, which I don't think it's anything.
No. Fox 1, Fox 2, Fox 3, Fox 4, fire. Oh, sorry. Fox 5. Okay, and now we go to Galvin.
Okay, I'm going to let go of my staff, and I'm going to take the torch I'm holding and try to hit the fox that that jumped at me with the torch.
Go for it.
Oh, and that's a 9.
And that's a swipe miss. Okay, we did Trask already. And Corbin.
Corbin rolls a 14.
14. Looking on the chart. No, you missed.
Damn.
And Nigel.
Oh, 9.
He misses. Okay, now what are we going to do? Same thing again?
Yeah.
Who had the torch, and do they still have the torch?
I have the torch. I'm swinging it around at the foxes.
Okay.
All right, initiative time. I rolled
5.
I rolled a 1. Foxes go. Corbin Fox. Sounds like a good name for a character. Ooh, I hit with an 18. Oh, Corbin, are you wearing metal?
Yes.
You get zapped for 1 point of damage. You convulse a little bit, like... Okay, the Galvin Fox. Miss with a 9. Oh, damn. The Trask Fox. What your new armor class now is?
My armor class is now back to good old 3.
And that good old missed. And the Ragnar Fox... Oh, I hit you again. Ooh. 2 points of damage as it electrocutes you.
Die in the first session. That'll be a heck of a thing.
And Nigel Fox. Isn't that a name, actually?
Nigel Fox.
Missed Nigel Fox. Go with your attack, starting with Ragnar.
Dun, 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 dun. Ugh, I rolled a 5.
Miss.
Pathetic.
Galvin.
A 9.
Miss. Trask.
16.
Hit.
Yay. Is my, when I pulled down my axe, did I notice if it was, you know, glowy?
Yes, it is.
Yes. 3 and 7. That's 10. 12 damage.
You killed that fox. Okay.
Oh, double tap. I love you.
Corbin.
I'm actually going to, instead of swinging at him with my metal weapon, which may very well do damage to me, I'm going to ask, I still have, you know, speak with the animals active, so I'm like, we have no issue with you. If you won't help, at least let us leave your home and we can both go our separate ways. There's no need for this battle.
The fox looks at you and doesn't say a word.
These are really antisocial animals. They kind of remind me of my cat.
And you can still attack Corbin because talking is always free in my games. Do you wish to attack?
Yeah. Rolled a 14 again.
And you missed again. And Nigel.
No, 3.
And miss. Okay. So now everybody's going to do the same thing, I assume, except for Trask.
Maybe not. I assume that my shield would be made of wood, right?
Correct. Okay, unless you say unless you wrote down steel.
No, I just wrote down shield.
Okay.
No, I don't know. Assuming that Ragnar's shield is made of wood, he's going to pull it off of his arm, throw it down on top of this electrocuting fox, and jump up and down on top of it.
Sounds like a Trask move.
Yeah.
We're brothers, can't you tell?
Yeah. Okay, Trask, you're the only one that doesn't have a fox. Are you going to move into...
I'm going to turn around, see the next one see the first one I can, and charge towards it, shouting, "Time for a new pair of boots!" Because I have a hat. Okay. And, you know, to accessorize.
Absolutely. Davy Crockett look.
Corbin, you going to do anything different?
No. Actually, is Ragnar, what hit point situation are you at?
I have 3 hit points left.
I am going to do something different. I'm going to, if I can reach him, go over and heal light wounds on Ragnar.
Unfortunately, he's kind of like 15 feet away.
All right. Well, I'm going to head over that way.
And you didn't take the feat of range touch, so.
Oh, jeez. I'd like to change my action too. I'm gonna
just turn on dead. That'll get it.
No, dude, burst positive energy, and we'll each get a D6, and then you can within 30 feet. If you took a selective channel, you can totally exclude the foxes. That's an actual thing you can do in Pathfinder.
Yeah, I understood the feet thing. I don't understand what you're talking about.
Instead of turning undead, they channel positive or negative energy now, and that determines like what they do.
Right. Huh. So,
but you can burst that.
We'll save
radius.
That for the Pathfinder podcast.
So,
Chronicles of the Pathfinder.
I
kind of
pull the so-called wand of resurrection that made Dead Myron's hair grow out of my robes.
What?
The wand of resurrection that
made Myron's hair grow, and I tried to resurrect Myron.
Oh, okay.
I'm pulling that out. This turn,
rescued from Rupert.
I'm gonna see what effect it has on this fox that's eluding my torch.
All right. And Nigel, were you doing anything different? Did I ask you that?
I'm attacking.
Okay, initiative.
4.
6, go. Starting with Ragnar.
Jump up and down on shield, assuming I can get the shield on top of him.
Okay, let's see here. Roll an attack as if you're like a ranged attack for throwing the shield on him.
Roll good this time, Mr. Duh. 18!
And that's a hit. It is on top of the fox.
And he's going to jump up and down on top of it with all his might.
Okay, just give 3d6 and make sure you roll under your dexterity.
Under his dexterity, which... Oh, he's got a good dexterity. Excellent. 12, 13 with a dexterity of 6... 15, 15, sorry.
Okay, you were on top of the fox jumping up and down, and you did... how much do you weigh?
Oh, gosh, I have no idea. As much as a rather rotund dwarf, I was envisioning him as being kind of fat because he eats a lot.
But, all right, we'll say 5 points of damage.
There you go. That works.
Okay, we're going over to Galvin, who's using his resurrection wand on an alive fox. Go ahead and roll. Percentile, please.
Okay.
Oh, five.
Five. Roll 3d6.
Seven.
Seven. Okay, the fox is now on fire as a blast of flame comes out of it.
Wow.
It's a pretty handy wand that's probably going to kill us.
You just about singed Corbin's side hairs.
Well, I took off Trask's eyebrows the last game.
Yeah, I know. And speaking of Trask, it's Trask's turn.
Yeah, I'm charging.
You get plus two?
That's 16 altogether.
That's a hit.
All right. And where did I put that die that I used for damage? Six, and then one. That would be nine damage.
Nine damage, and roll one more d6.
Three.
And you kill that fox.
Do you mind if I ask what the d6 was for?
No.
Oh, what was the d6 for?
No. I was telling you no. I don't want to tell you. I'm sorry.
Oh. Well, I had asked, do you mind?
The axe urged you to swing for another attack.
Cool.
It craved the blood of the victim you're going to kill.
Man, this axe is going to possess me and make me kill my friends.
And Corbin.
Well, I was running over to Regnar. You said I couldn't reach it this round.
You can run over to him, but you won't be able to do anything.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just a minute. I'm almost done here. Jump, 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 jump. He says, "Zero is over."
And that leaves Nigel.
All right.
There is a fox within reach.
Oh boy! Yeah, eight.
And he misses. Okay, so the fox on Galvin that is on fire is rolling around on the ground, and he takes another 2 points of damage. He can't attack because he's rolling. The one in front of Nigel now. And okay. The one in front of Nigel. Let's just get the dice here. Oh, a two, a miss. Lucky. And the one that is underneath Regnor is going to try to squeeze his way out. Nope, not happening.
Excellent.
Next round, what are the moves?
Same.
Healing.
Regnar's going to keep jumping until the thing dies, and then he's going to pick up the corpse and beat another fox to death with it. Well, he's roaring, by the way. Yes. Roaring.
How many foxes are left?
Three.
Three? I'm going to charge to the nearest one again. This time I'm going to make a fashionable side pouch.
Okay.
I'm going to not risk my luck on the wand quite again yet. I'm going to take my torch again and try to finish off the one that's trying to put itself out.
Okay. Initiative.
Two.
Jesus Christ, that's two dice I lost under the desk.
That happens to me every time we start playing. I lose.
I'm going through
dice.
Six sides really quickly here. I rolled a four. What did you guys have?
Two.
You go first. Regnor, you can want to jump up and down again?
Yes.
Do the same thing.
Ha ha ha! Jump, 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 jump.
3d6.
Do I need to roll something again this time?
Yeah, 3d6.
3d6. Oh, the dexterity roll again. Okay. Oh, goodness. I rolled an 18 that time. I wish I could have rolled that on my stats. Yeah, failure.
Yeah, you kind of slip off and fall to the side.
Boom.
Giving no damage to the Foxy. Okay, and Galvin?
Jeez, a 5.
No. Trask, charging, right. Plusing 2.
That's 15 total.
Trask hits.
Yes. I'm actually rolling good tonight. 1, 5, so it's 6. 7 damage.
Again.
And another d6?
Yes.
That's 6 more, so 13 total.
All right, you kill that fox.
Man, I'm going to be the belle of the ball. All my fashion sense.
And Corbin is doing his heal spell.
All right, I reach out.
And touch someone?
To the very bizarre dwarf for 5 points of healing.
You think he's bizarre?
Thank you, sir. You're a gentleman and a scholar.
And Nigel.
Oh, yeah. Heronius is not with me today. 7.
Miss. Okay, and now we have 2 foxes left to sum this up. The last fox is on fire near Galvin and Nigel and Trask, and the last fox is underneath a wooden shield near Regnor and Corbin. So I assume everyone's just going to run in and just beat the crap out of them, unless they're doing something different.
I'm going to do something along those lines, but different.
What's that?
I'm going to run towards the one under the shield and elbow drop it.
Are you just trying to one- gonna elbow Are you guys going to one up each other on this thing now?
Absolutely.
I think so.
All right, so you're going to run and elbow drop. Wonderful.
Get him, brother! Get him!
Anyone else going to do anything different or stupid, I should say?
I think that's stupid and exciting.
I assume Corbin's doing an attack now.
Yeah.
Okay. Initiative, please.
A 3.
4. Go ahead. Starting with Regnor, who's on the ground. Who's standing up?
I guess... Gosh. I guess you probably wouldn't see... Trask Cummins. I guess he's going to try to jump back on the shield. Maybe there might be a collision here.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. This time I rolled a 9, so that makes it. Sorry, it's dark in here. I can't hardly read my dice. They're red on black. Yep.
Okay, perfect. And you jump on it, and you are now balancing on the fox, doing 5 points of damage. Fox is still alive.
It's a tough fox.
Yeah. And we're over to Galvin, who's swinging his torch.
Torch. 12.
Miss.
Ah. Oh.
And Trask, who's running top speed 20 feet at this point.
No, wait.
25 feet, actually, because where the fox is.
Do you want me to just roll an attack? Do you want me to do a...
roll dexterity. Monitor your dexterity, 4d6.
4d6?
Yeah, 4d6.
Okay. Luckily, I have a 15 dexterity. That's 7, and then 10 altogether.
You rolled 46 and got 10? Wow, good.
Yeah. A 1, a 2, a 5, and...
No, I believe you. I said that. That's good. You run, and you dive, and you do an elbow smash drop on the shield, which crushes the fox, killing him, launching Regnor into the air towards Corbin, who now has to make a save versus breath weapon.
It's the mead breath. Yes.
These dwarves are going to be the death of us.
Did you make it?
I failed it miserably. I got a 19.
And you take 5 points of damage as a heavy, fat, little stinky dwarf falls on your body and crushes you into the ground.
Sorry about that. He smacks him in the forehead and heals him when it's his turn again.
And we're over towards... Well, Corbin's on the ground now, so... He really can't do much. He's being crushed. Nigel.
Can I still get in to attack one, or are there dwarves all in the way?
There's one.
there's the one in front of me.
Yeah,
I will assist there. And yeah, 10. Man, I keep switching dice and I'm not getting anywhere.
Yeah, dude, wow.
Maybe I'll just kill myself and come back as a dwarf. All dwarf you can, party.
You can be our sister.
Oh, jeez.
With the longest beard of all.
That would be utterly ridiculous.
Okay, Fox in front of Galvan. Hits. Ooh.
And he's on fire still, right?
Actually, he is. Doing no points of damage.
Oh. I have thick robes.
Well, and you don't have metal on.
That's right.
And the fox dies. Well, he's on fire, remember?
Yeah.
And thus the encounter is over.
Who was it that Ragnar landed on? Corbin?
Corbin, yes.
Yeah, he's going to expend one of his healing spells because he feels bad about squishing him for 6 points. So there you go. Sorry about that, buddy. And then help him up.
Kress is going to go walk around and pick up the foxes by their tails. And he's got them all in one hand, hold them up and be like, anyone hungry?
Well, one of them's cooked.
This is actually a perfect this is a perfect opportunity to take a quick break here and leave off for this week for the listeners.
You have been listening to The Quest for the Book of Sorrows. If you have any questions or comments, please visit the cast at rfipodcast.com. Follow the cast on Twitter at rfipodcast or at facebook.com/rfipodcast. Join us next time for The Quest for the Book of Sorrows.